Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, a couple of interesting results from around the world of golf that we need to get to. Plus, we've got Tiger Woods playing golf this week. That's right. We get into all the details from the Bahamas. We're tuned into some recipe talk and Pepsi, Where's My Jet? This week's guest, we have golf content creator, model, and burrito connoisseur, Carol Priscilla, on for a really fun chat. And it's turkey leftovers, holiday drinks, and a B-Day recap from Mike when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. It's here, Mike. It's the conversation where we don't have to go off any script because it's the holidays and people need gifts right now. You're online, you are shopping frantically, you're looking for deals, and you have a golfer in your life that you haven't bought something for yet. So it's a great idea to head to desertfoxgolf.com and do just that. Desert Fox has not only the phone caddy that we mentioned, but they've got tumblers, they've got apparel, they've got accessories for the golfer in your life. And you can use our promo code CourseOfLife to save 10% off. Always love a good promo code during holiday shopping. Again, desertfoxgolf.com, promo code CourseOfLife to save 10% off your holiday shopping today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Voris Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, we just knocked out the holiday weekend and your birthday week as well. Happy birthday to you.
Like, it was a whirlwind of food and desserts and everything over the course of the weekend. And we'll talk about that in earnest. But, you know, I don't know how much cooking you did for Thanksgiving, but I was exhausted.
I did. I had a 5 mile run that I mistakenly committed to when I was motivated back in September to ramp up my exercise. I did knock that out successfully in the rain, and then I did the full cooking of the Thanksgiving dinner. So yeah, quite a Thursday, and we fit in some football, which we'll get into later. But yeah, I don't know who's more exhausted, you or me, but it's a close race right now.
You know, you don't have a new puppy that you have to pay attention to as well.
Oh, yes. That's why I win. So. That's right. That's why I'll be carrying this podcast, of course. Yep. Makes sense. Yeah,
exactly. As you usually do. But let's talk some golf. The American tours were all noticeably silent, as they usually are during Thanksgiving weekend. No match. The match is coming up in December. December, by the way, is officially Tiger Woods month. That's what I'm calling it.
We had his birthday, too, at the end of the month.
It's so Tiger much month. Tiger Woods in the month of December. But let's go down under. Let's go to Australia, because it was the Australian PGA. And live golfer extraordinaire Cam Smith was down there and capped off his wild 2022 season with a victory.
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy cherry on top of a headline-fueled 2022 for the mullet, that is Cam Smith. I mean, it started way back at the beginning in Hawaii, took note of the fact that he took down that amazing field at the Players' Championship. Remember that big win at Sawgrass? Yep. Then, of course, we had the entire LIV Golf controversy and him winning the Open, the 150th Open at St. Andrews on a hallowed ground amidst it all. And then obviously everything that happened with his LIV season being capped off with this major championship of sorts in Australia for the Australasian Tour. So yeah, he's been all over and he's won all over for sure. It did have people asking, you know, we're not comparing him right now, but you know, Cam Smith might be one of the best golfers or the best golfer in the world right now, but there's really just no way to compare because of the influx that the sport is in right now.
Yeah, even though Dustin Johnson was maybe the best golfer on LIV Golf over the course of the entire year, I think we could say Cam Smith certainly seems to be one of the hottest golfers in the world. So the question is, as his world ranking continues to degrade,
right?
Is he really as good as we think he is if he's going against fields that aren't really that good anyway? He's not getting points in LIV, but is he really as good as we think he is?
It's like that conversation that we have in like other sports, like college football, for example. You know, are these teams that play in crappy conferences that are going undefeated the same as a team that's going 6-4 in the SEC? I don't know. I mean, maybe who knows? We're we might never really see. That's the interesting part of the kind of rift in the game right now, where the tours are not coming together and don't seem to be in the immediate future. But regardless, an interesting win for Cam Smith down under to cap his crazy 2022.
The DP World Tour was also in action. They were down in South Africa for their weekend. And they had a brand new guy to their tour able to notch a victory.
Brand new third event, Mike. How about that? That's how you get it going with a new tour card. Shout out to Dan Bradbury for getting it done. And it was a really cool scenery week for the golf fans who were watching in the mornings on Golf Channel. You may have caught that if you were just enjoying some relaxing time on the couch this past weekend. Wildlife galore in South Africa for the Joburg Open. So just wanted to shout out a new winner because it's rare that you see a golfer come on to a tour and be a new member and win that early. It's got to be taken for note. So shout out to Dan Bradbury for getting it done.
All right, like I said, this is the month of Tiger Woods. He's going to be officially announced that he and Charlie will be returning to the PNC father-son championship. It's not really the father-son. It's the parent-child.
There you go. Yes, well said.
So he's going to be in that. He's going to be in the match. And and of course, this weekend he'll be in the Hero World Challenge. Hold up, everyone. So this podcast, as usual, is recorded on a Monday. And then, of course, on Tuesday, Tiger goes ahead and tells us he's not playing in the World Hero Championship this weekend. So we're going to leave this in, but keep in mind he's not actually here now. There's a lot of golf for Tiger to try to cram into December here. We know Charlie's going to carry in the PNC, but how concerned are you about Tiger Woods' leg during this month of December?
That's the crappy part of this conversation now, is forever this conversation has two parts. It's, you know, level of excitement, what's your quota, what do you expect out of him, and then you have to have the conversation about his legs. It's just, yep. You know, the lower half of his body has been through trauma that not many people on this earth have experienced for many mm-hmm. different reasons, not the worst of being the accident, obviously. So, you know, that's always going to be a work in progress for him, and this is going to be interesting to see him play an extended number of rounds. Again, hit and giggle, casual type events, but the cameras are rolling. We're counting every shot for these next few events here. People are watching. So if he's putting himself out here, Mike, and lining up this late year schedule like this, it tells me that he does want to see what it's like to play a good little chunk in a row for maybe more starts in 2023. We said that optimistically and we got excited when he played the Masters in 2022 earlier this year, and not much happened after that. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens with all of it. I think that, you know, it's interesting. We call these all hit and giggles, really, but Tiger has won this coming weekend's Hero World Challenge five times, right? He's a five-time winner here.
This is true. Yes, he is. I'm trying to remember how many he's won in the Bahamas. I think it's been at least one. But yeah, he's won this tournament a bunch of times. He's obviously the host this week. So definitely going to be an interesting watch. It's a very small field, the Hero World Challenges. 20 guys handpicked by Tiger. This is Paradise Golf. This is a birdie fest course. It's flat. There's no undulation. Bunkers here and there. Nice pure greens. So this is a nice, smooth, soft landing for Tiger. And we've done this in past years, if you remember. He'd come off a year of injury where we don't see him forever. And we talk about how this event in the Bahamas, nice soft landing for him, get his feet wet out golfing, not take it too seriously. Good introduction to getting him back out in the game, though.
Yeah, so early prediction, 20 guys in the field, Tiger Woods. Is he going to be in the top five come Sunday?
Top five. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say I think he can finish in the top half of the field. I think he can beat half the guys in the field. That's my prediction for Tiger. I have him
on a good day, I think.
Yeah, somewhere in the low, mid single digits under par. Keep in mind the winner's going to be 15, 20 under par this week. I'd have him maybe somewhere around there. I think he's going to be able to break par at least twice, maybe three times in this course. Very soft track, 7,400 yards, not a lot of trouble unless the wind whips up. So that'd be kind of my quota and prediction for him. I love guys like Justin Thomas, who's a veteran of this event. You can't go against John Rahm, who just won the race to Dubai, probably the hottest golfer there. So check out my full preview on runyourpool.com for the betting preview and picks for this week. But that's a sampling of who I like in the Bahamas.
All right, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I haven't had a whole lot of time to really watch anything that requires a lot of attention, because when you have a puppy, your attention is required upon them.
Yes. 30-second puppy update. How are we doing with things? Yeah.
She still is a biting terror. And if it, we have nicknamed her the Beast. And if you have watched the movie What We Do in the Shadows, you understand the reference. Okay. So I'm not going to say any more about that. We have an Instagram page for her, so you can follow around her adventures on Instagram. It's Laika underscore AKA underscore Beast.
Nice. That's you got the Beast in the branding. It's in the name. Yeah, it's in
there.
The handle.
It's there. It's there. Fine. So L-A-I-K-A, Laika. So go ahead and check it out. Follow her there. See her adventures. We got some stuff up there for her. Really, she's having a good time there. Last night I was able to watch the first episode of the new Netflix docuseries, Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
Interesting title. I know nothing about it. Give us some context.
Do you remember back in 1995?
Okay.
Pepsi did a promotion, and back then it was revolutionary, where you would drink Pepsi and you like peeled the tag off and you got points. You got Pepsi points, and you had to use those points to get Pepsi merch.
What a childhood memory.
Well, they did a commercial where they said for 7 million points, you could get a Harrier fighter jet. And those are those jets that could take off straight up and down. They don't need a runway. They can like float in midair. Okay.
All right.
And they said you can do it. So totally, I only watched the first episode, so it's just laying the groundwork here. But basically, this 20-year-old kid comes up with a plan to make this happen and get himself this Harrier jet. And this docuseries is going to document the whole fiasco of the whole thing in court case of this David versus Goliath story of this kid saying, "Where's my jet, Pepsi? Where's my Harrier jet?"
And a remarkable tease by you as well there too.
Yeah,
really set the stage.
So.
That's going to be a good watch. That also reminds me of the Pepsi caps, where you had to fill out the phrases for prize. You know, there'd be a different word on each cap, like a Pepsi or Mountain Dew. There's another good late 90s promotion.
There was the flashback where they were showing all the Pepsi that people were buying for this kind of promo that Pepsi was doing. Crystal Pepsi. You remember Crystal Pepsi?
Oh, wow. Yes. There's a relic from the past.
I know.
Love that.
There you
good
go.
Good stuff.
Pepsi, Where's My Jet on Netflix.
Very cool. Well, I mentioned obviously last week's guest, Ryan Reitman, starred in his Hallmark Christmas Channel movie.
He did.
Really, really great film, My Southern Family Christmas. We watched it this past weekend, and we were watching some other Hallmark movies this past weekend. And one of them got into some recipe talk, which made me want to pose a question to you. The movie was called The Christmas Cookie Catastrophe, and this cookie company's recipe was stolen. It was stolen and taken from them, and they had no idea where it was. I'll let you watch the movie if you want to find out the ending. But the bottom line, and the question here, Mike, is there any sort of recipe that you have, and I know you make a lot of things, that you hold so close to you that it's a secret recipe that you do not disclose to anybody? Do you have one?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no. I the only one I have is my mom's meat pasta sauce. That's it. It's her meat sauce for spaghetti, and I've been sworn to secrecy on it, and there's some secret things that go into it that shall not be named and never will be, and that's really the only one I got in my arsenal.
Look, the way I see it, if you with baking or cooking or anything like that, it's you do it to bring joy to people. And if they want to try to take that recipe and bring joy in their own kitchen by making it themselves, then that's still part of baking or cooking. And that's still something I want to help them do. So if you're going to ask me,
so you're calling my mom selfish, it sounds like, is what you're doing. That's what you're doing, huh? You're going right at her, aren't you?
She's from a different era where you kept things really close to the chest there. And
I wanted to see how you could back out of that. Nice work.
And that's okay. Is her recipe one of those recipes too, where it depends on like how she's feeling is how she makes it? Is it one of those or
yes,
what you can
probably
find in the
store? It probably is mood based, and it's let's just put it this way: it's definitely not rocket science, but we're gonna pretend like it is. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm sure it's fantastic. All right, so let's go ahead and get into this week's featured guest. She's a content creator and a model that loves to golf all over the world, and she's big into burritos. I like burritos. I love burritos.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I do like burritos. It's funny. I really don't order burritos maybe as often as I'd say I'd like to, because I'm in such an intense taco town here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to come across a burrito order. But when I get a good one, oh, they are heaven. They are indeed.
You know, I agree. I like burritos. I don't order them very often because honestly, when I'm going to Chipotle to get, you know, something like that, I'm probably getting a salad or a bowl because I don't need the carbs all the time. So
look at you. Look at you with the health. Anyways, we're going to get in some really good burrito talk with our guest, Carol Purcell, like you mentioned. The ingredients, when to have it, what it's like on the golf course. We're asking the important hard-hitting questions in this Course of Life interview.
That's right. We'll get to that interview with Carol in just a moment. But first, let's talk about Vorus Golf. They've been with us for a little while now. They make hats and polos and all that fun stuff, but they've got great golf gloves as well with their through-touch technology so that you can use your cellular device with either hand, whether you got a glove on each from Vorus or whether you just got one or the other. Because there are times when, you know, gloves on the left hand, but there's times when I want to use my left hand to navigate the phone. And the through-touch technology on these Vorus leather gloves allows you to do that.
Yeah, I tried the glove out this past Sunday and it worked to a T perfectly. I was flipping up scores with my left hand, driving with my right in the cart, and swinging it smooth. Club never fell out, never slipped. Those are the important, like, ground level endorsements that you want to hear for a golf glove. And again, for those holiday shoppers out there, if you're looking for a quick, easy gift to get a golfer, golfers are always down with getting a new glove. That's something you can never, ever have enough of on deck. So Vorus definitely supplies the one that I'm enjoying on the course right now.
That's right. And they come in a couple different colors, white and black. I'm a black glove guy. So that's important to me to find black gloves because I went to go look for black gloves in the store the other day and there's like none. So I'm really happy that Vorus does have black gloves for us. You can use our promo code COL18 to save yourself 18% off anything. At vorusgolf.com. That's V-O-R-A-U-S golf.com. Vorus Golf, COL18 for 18% off everything at vorusgolf.com.
Next up on the tee from sunny San Diego, California, we have a golfer and a content creator and burrito connoisseur, which we'll get into as well. It's Carol Priscilla joining us on the Course of Life. Carol, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you. Yeah, you got to emphasize that burrito connoisseur part there.
Yeah, there's a lot of Tex-Mex content to get into. I'm in Austin, you're in San Diego, you know all about burritos. We'll get to that in a bit, but let's start with golf first. I'm curious how far back it goes for you and maybe some of your earliest golf memories. You are California through and through. So what's your first memories maybe picking up a club?
So I started at the age of around, I want to say 12. I grew up in an area called Chula Vista. It's in San Diego, a little further south. And my brother actually started playing first. And I was always so attached to my brother. Whatever he did, I wanted to do too. Whatever sports he did, I wanted to try if I could. And so when my parents put him into golf lessons, I started to tag along to his lessons. And I don't know what happened to my brain, but I was like, well, let me try. I want to swing a club.
Sure,
and
give it a go.
I started, and all of a sudden I just started joining him in on his lessons and I started golfing then. But that was my earliest memory was in the Chula Vista, what's it called? Like it's called the Bonita Range Center. But I would go there with him and hit balls, and that kind of like started off my love for golf. And one of my favorite memories was going to the golf course with my dad early in the morning, and I would get around in with him and we would get hot dogs at the turn, and it was a blast. I just kind of fell in love with the sport then.
Nice. Yeah. Morning golf. Okay. I like that. Like sweeping the dew off. That's a good memory for sure. How long did it take to maybe beat the brother, whether it's one holes or 9 or 18? How long did it take before you could finally get the better of him?
Oh man, it took years. I barely have till this day. So between when I started till now, I mean, I was more inconsistent with playing like my brother because I became a professional model and my career kind of took over. Right. And my brother continued to play. And my brother, I will always say, was my greatest motivation. He is an incredible golfer. He just makes it look so easy. And I always told myself, I don't care what I do, I need to beat my brother at some point. So it was this past year that I just started training harder. And I think I did a video with him that was like closest to the pin or something, and I was able to beat him. And it was in that video that was the first time I was ever able to beat my brother. And now I'm able to keep up with him, but he's just, I can't, he'll shoot under par. Like, he's incredible, but I will continue to try. Stay tuned. One day I will at least try to beat him on the front nine.
And crazy, crazy talent there from your brother. And good to see the competition still going, kind of rejuvenate you, get that win with him on the content side as well too. Again, it's Carol with a K underscore Priscilla on Instagram. I'm curious, now that you kind of have a busier life schedule with your career, mom life, being an adult at the same time too, well, what is it that gets you back to the course and has you consistently working on your game besides being motivated to beat the brother?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to kind of build a career where I've mended my worlds kind of together. I've just been able to turn what I've learned in the 13 plus years I've been a professional model, fitness model, and kind of took golf and put it together. So now I'm able to do both, and it's turned into a career in a sense. So I will take my son with me, even if I have to, because he enjoys it. He actually doesn't like when I leave him behind. He hates it. He gets upset with me. So now that I can...
I was going to ask if he touched a golf club yet himself. He touched a golf club.
Oh, yeah. I got him a golf set as soon as he could swing a club.
There you go.
So it's good mom. That's been so much fun watching him kind of start. And he goes out to the course, and every Saturday I get together with my family to go play, and he comes along. So he's very acclimated and is aware of the golf life. So he knows getting in the cart, like when it's time to tee off and when he's going to grab his iron and his putting technique. It still needs a little work, but because he wants to just hammer the ball, but it's fun. And, and if I'm able to balance my life a little bit better now, because I'm able to do golf more instead of always just continuing leaving and going to set in LA and traveling as a professional model, I get to do golf now. So it's kind of given me a bigger incentive, because when I go to these tournaments or I go to these golf events, I have to keep up with not just other golf influencers, but actual professional golfers. And so I refuse to show up and look like just a hashtag, you know, golf influencer who can't swing a club. Like,
definitely,
I want to compete. I want to be able to keep up with these girls. And I'm very lucky to have a close-knit group of friends who are all phenomenal golfers, and they let me kind of go so I can keep up and train. And I'm so grateful to my coach, who Trent actually works with as well. So I've been able to work on my game quite a bit this past year. And, you know, I still have a lot to improve, but I'm happy with how much work I've put in.
I was going to ask if you'd worked with Mike Maggs before, but it appears as if you had. So that's exciting to hear.
No, So I had a different coach before, and you know, it's like dating, right? You got to find your match. You got to find a coach that works.
That's right. Yeah. I love it. So very cool.
When I met him, I was like, oh yeah, this is the guy. He was so patient with me, and he finds a way to make it make sense to you. So that's really important, because I feel like a lot of coaches just try to coach one style for every player, and not every player adapts to just one single coaching style. You know, we all are so different. People have different swings. And I really feel like he was great at watching me swing and doing exactly what I needed to get better or get to the next step.
Nice. Well, it's really cool to see your golf and your golf game and your content profile on social media. Again, it's Carol Priscilla joining us here on The Course of Life. Let's get into some of your blogs. First, I want you to just kind of run through what are your kind of keys and what are your favorite things that you look for when you're having a great golf day experience? You know, what are like your main tenets and things that you always look for when you're having a great day on the course?
I mean, I'm such a foodie. If the course has to have good food, I need food in my life. Like, without good food, good food and tequila, those are two things that will make a great day for me. If it doesn't have good food or tequila,
we're already stopping in the 19th hole before we've started to play. That's good. That's a good sign.
Oh yeah. Tequila Carol is a real thing. She comes to play. I'll have to take you on the course with me one day.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Let's talk about some of the courses you've been to. The local one I want you to highlight, because I didn't know really much about it until I saw you highlight it specifically. I'm referring to San Diego Country Club, I believe it is, which is probably maybe a bit of a sleeper in my eyes, because everyone talks a lot about Torrey Pines, which is a really cool venue in and of itself. But tell us a little bit about the more local tracks in your San Diego area.
So San Diego Country Club has been around for a really long time, but it's tucked away in Chula Vista. And I feel like a lot of people kind of turn away from it just because of the neighborhood it's in. But it's such a great course. The greens are rolling fast at all times. It's so well kept. And I just recently joined as a member there. And I have no regrets because the staff, everyone there is so awesome. The course is beautiful. And within the next couple of years, they're actually going to do a lot of changes to make that course even better. You'll catch players down there like Mickelson or whoever's practicing for the Farmers Open whenever they have those big tournaments out at Torrey. They actually will go practice at San Diego Country Club because of the greens and because of how great that course is. It's
very cool. Yeah,
it's an awesome one for sure.
That looks like a cool track. And for the switch up, let's take you to where I am here in Texas. Being you through California through and through, definitely got to be a different vibe change when you come out to Briggs Ranch and you get to see a Texas Hill Country property like that. I'm very familiar with staying at those properties in Texas and New Mexico here. But what was that experience like for you at Briggs Ranch?
I'd want to go back. It definitely left an impression on me. I'm so accustomed to California life that I forget that there's other places you can go to where people actually say hi and genuinely mean it.
Oh yes. The Southern hospitality. Yeah. So I'm from the Northeast. So I know all about being like mean and turnoffish and obnoxious to people you don't know. So when I moved down here, I was pleasantly surprised by that. And I still am 12 years later. Now that
it's
you mentioned it.
So nice. I just had landed off my plane. I was like sweating and I showed up to Briggs Ranch and everyone was so like, what can I get you? Do you want some food? Do you want, like, everyone was just so kind. And I was so shocked by that. But the property itself is beautiful. I mean, staying in those cottages were just where they have everything you could actually need. And I love the fact that I could just step out of my little house and go straight to the range. And that range, the sunsets there, I could have stayed outside all day. I loved it. I mean, despite the bugs, you know, they're a little bigger than what I'm used to here in San Diego, but I loved it. I mean, it definitely gave me like that country feel, and I loved it. I want to go back so bad.
Whenever you have that experience, when you're staying in a nice little room or cottage and you can see where you're going to be golfing, you know, the next day, I don't think there's anything better than that for a golfer on vacation. Oh,
absolutely. I made my coffee and I went out into the little back area and I could see into like two of the holes that were back there and I was watching people tee off. And I just had a moment of like, wow, I'm so grateful for this experience and the fact that I can even do this. Like it's just crazy. That property was beautiful. I really enjoyed it.
The one other destination I wanted you to highlight real quick from your content, and you can take this in any direction you want, because I know there's a lot of options, but your golf experiences on Hawaii. I don't know if you have a favorite course specifically, or maybe even a favorite course beach combo or something like that. I'm sure you did a lot of both, but what was the ultimate highlight that sticks out from your trip there?
So I have such a sentimental, I feel like, connection with Kauai because I built some amazing friendships there. And on hole 13 or hole 3, it's a par 3 and it's facing the ocean. And that's at Hokuala, the ocean course over at Timbers. And the first time I went there, I went with Bryce Butler and we had an awesome trip there and they took us the stairs to go see the beach. You can actually go down behind the hole, go all the way down. People don't know about it.
Nice. Love a good secret walkway on the golf course.
And I fell so hard. I'm telling this story. There's a reason why there's a sentimental connection to this place. I have the biggest scar from falling there. So that was my first round there. My second round there, when I went, they actually allowed me to paint a mural of a dolphin on that hole. And I went to that hole in the morning at sunrise. They took me out and they did their like traditional morning chant to the rising sun. So something about that hole, I'm forever connected to that place. And Kauai just has this, when they talk about aloha, it is, I don't think I felt that on the Big Island. But when I went to Kauai, the people there just there's this energy there that I can't even explain unless you go and experience it yourself. But Hokkawala, the ocean course, has such a sentimental like thing to me. So I will always love Hokkawala.
Yeah, second, that sounds like a beautiful spot. I love the yin and yang of the injury and the dolphin as well, too.
Right? Nice. Like, you get hurt, but life is good. Like, it's fine. Everything is fine. Like, there's just like a rebirth of things. You'll be good. But I couldn't stop laughing when I fell, because it was the first day we were there. And of course, I end up injured and with a scar, but I didn't even care. I didn't care. I just loved it. And the fact that they even invited me back was, I was so thankful. I'm like, they invited this clumsy woman back to Kauai. But the second course I would say is Kukuiula, and that is the private course. But that course, every hole you went to had, their theme was everything on the course is edible or wearable. So you would see pineapples, you would see bananas, you would see coffee beans, you would see.
That's a foodie's dream for a golfer right there.
And in their little, like, where the food would be, like, whatever. You walk in there and you have everything you can imagine. But the thing that won me over was the teriyaki spam musubis they had ready to go. I ate so much spam musubi that day at that golf course that I had to buy Pepto-Bismol after, because I got sick.
Wow. What an interesting venue that is. I'm marking that one down for sure. Yeah, very cool experience.
That course was unreal. I think Tom Brady had a house there and he sold it, but it's an incredible golf course. Windy, very windy. If you're going to go play in Hawaii, anywhere in Kauai, just know that you're going to fight wind the entire day, probably.
Very cool. Though there's a really good sampling of some of your golf destinations. I know you have a ton more vlogs and content on your Instagram, TikTok, and check out our YouTube as well, too. Let's get to some burrito content, most importantly, because you mentioned you're a connoisseur, and I'm very curious. Let's just start with when the love affair began. I asked about your first golf memories. Maybe what's your youngest burrito memory?
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, I'm Hispanic, so my mom made the best. I mean, any Mexican child will say that their mom made the best anything, and yeah, as they should. But my mom would always make us these fresh tortillas, and we would have either fresh beans or whatever, picadillo, some sort of dish. And no matter what, if she put it inside that tortilla, everything just tasted so good. So I think as a kid, I just kind of grew to love putting food inside of a tortilla, because I just thought it was such an experience. And through high school, I remember going when we would be before school, or even when we would ditch school, we would go to a specific taco shop. It was called Lolitas. And now it's a chain restaurant, and there's a ton of Lolitas in San Diego County. But before, there was only two, and it was in Chula Vista. And those were the ones I would go to. And I would always get two things. It was either a bean and cheese burrito with guacamole, or a carne asada burrito. And I would inhale them so quickly. And I just was obsessed. I was always eating, but I was always playing sports. So people would be like, how do you have this diet and you eat like that, but you stay looking the way you look? And I was just lucky to have such a balance and staying healthy, but also having such an appetite. But yeah, that was...
Yeah, it's that carb load up and exercise. I love the combo.
Oh, absolutely.
That's awesome. That was the best gift I got when I moved to Texas, as I realized all the things you can just put inside of a tortilla to make life three times better. That was a lesson for me as well, too. Even as an adult, you can learn that, too, for food. So let's talk about the golf burrito as we know it. I'm curious, because when I think of the golf, like, breakfast burrito, I think of like ham, sausage or bacon, egg, cheese, maybe a little salsa and a tortilla. Do I have that right? Or what's your kind of most iconic, like, you know, it's the morning and I'm at the golf course about to order a burrito order?
No, I think you're right. But some places don't have you can go to one place and they'll have eggs, cheese, beans, potatoes, whatever, ham, you put whatever in there. And something like the potatoes won't be good. So you're like, it's okay. You go to another place. Oh, the beans are not that good. They taste like they came out of a can. So that won't be good. So
right.
I found like a happy medium. You can't mess up eggs, cheese, some sort of ham or bacon, and add guacamole. If you destroy that, then we need to have a conversation, because if you mess up those items that are so simple, you shouldn't be allowed to serve burritos. But
those are very idiot-proof ingredients, indeed.
Exactly. So, but then you have the places that are like, okay, let's do ham, egg, bacon combined with like the salsa fresca, like some sort of salsa in there. Then they want to add like French fries. I'm like, no, you can't put French fries in there. It's breakfast. If you're going to add some sort of a fry situation, you got to put hash browns. See, don't get me started, because I'm going to just annihilate.
Yeah, that's like the French fries and the burrito. That's like a college town 2 a.m. burrito type of situation. That's what that is. There's a time and a place for that. Exactly. It's definitely not a golf course.
No.
So it sounds like I heard carne asada, maybe guacamole. What's your go-to like lunch or dinner time burrito order?
Ooh, either like a chicken burrito or carne asada. Carne asada is my favorite. I will always go for a carne asada. And San Diego Country Club has never disappointed me, because they have
I was going to ask, what's your course? Yeah, what's your favorite course burrito? So it's at San Diego Country Club?
Oh yeah, their carne asada burrito is the best. I always ask for it without cheese. Some people like cheese in their carne asada burrito. I think that's weird. Please don't put cheese in my carne asada burrito. I just want the meat, the salsa, the guacamole. That's it. Everything else is just, you're doing too much.
Nice. Appreciate that. Awesome. Again, it's Carol Priscilla joining us. Check her out on social, Carol with a K _ Priscilla. Let's get to some quick shot questions. Just quick thoughts on some different things from your content that I'd seen recently. You had a really cool experience where I think all golfers envy, is you got to have the tailor-made fitting experience. I'm curious, what was the biggest takeaway from your golf game having that experience?
Oh my gosh, the biggest takeaway. That's a tough one. The biggest takeaway, I guess I would say, is not being afraid to try something new. I think a lot of the times as golfers, we get stuck on one specific type of club or whatever. I'd always played another brand because that's what I thought I should. And I just stuck with it. And when I went there, I didn't realize how many different types of one type of club that there were. And so I left with a lot of knowledge that I didn't have before. And I appreciated that.
Very cool. We actually connected through a mutual friend, Trent Feltz, who was previously on the podcast. You did some really cool content with him in a par 3 match, which you can see on her Instagram. Any rematch plans to go back out there with the course?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I refuse to go out.
And what audio did we miss there? You said there was some audio that we may have missed that needed to be captured for content purposes. And anything you'd like to share with us there?
His putt was so far away. I think it was underestimated on camera how far away his shot was. And so I started to walk with him, and he said, "Why are you coming with me?" I was like, "You're so far away. I'm afraid of stranger danger. I just want to make sure you get to your ball, okay?"
Love it. Wow. Good bird.
And I was like, do you need me to bring a driver with me?
Yeah, I know. He might have to lay up. You never know, right? Yeah. You did a great reel on losing golf balls on the golf course. What's the most golf balls that you've lost in a round maybe this year?
Oh my gosh. I think once it was 7 and I was pissed. I think after 7, I think I just gave up.
7. Okay. Yeah, that's a good number. You know, 2 sleeves, normal. Once you get into that 3rd or 4th sleeve, then it gets a little sloppy at that point. So 7's not too bad of a number.
I quit. I just started to drink. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, these things happen. That's a perfect segue to our 19th hole question to wrap up every interview with our golfers on the show. You get into the clubhouse. What's your go-to order? You just got done with 18, maybe even finished with a birdie on 18, so you're in the best mood. What's your meal and drink that you have to order?
Depending on the course, obviously I would love to get a burrito. And for my drink, I would do a reposado tequila with a little bit of soda water and a little lime. And in Texas, I believe you call it ranch water, but I'm very simple like that. And if not, I'm going to have tequila on ice and I'll just sip it.
Yeah. Easy enough. Good answer indeed. Thank you again, Carol, for hopping on the course of life. Looking forward to seeing more content from you and everything that your future holds, and hit them straight out there as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we're back. Great chat there with Carol. Love to hear about all of her different travels. And again, burrito game. It's important out in there in the cold, because the burrito is a very handy golf course edible item.
Yes, well said. That's the thing with eating on the golf course. And I follow up my taco statement from earlier by saying on the golf course, though, burrito over taco, definitely. Yes. You need that one hand, handheld, on the go food, and tacos just don't quite work as conveniently. I've seen that play out before here in Austin. So shout out to Carol for the important burrito connoisseur breakdown that we didn't know we needed, but we absolutely had to have. Loved having her on the show, and looking forward to seeing more of her golf travel content as well.
And if you like that conversation with Carol, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app of your choice. Follow us on Instagram as well. COL Podcast is the official Course of Life Instagram. He's at Course of Life Alex. I'm at MWRINC. We're on Twitter until it goes down. We're going to have to start a Mastodon or something soon. I just feel
God.
It.
They're going to ask me to send tweets out on another site. Jesus.
Yep, it's going to happen. He's at Course of Life One. I'm at MWRINC. See, I have to go get a Mastodon now so I can have the same handle everywhere, because that's what's important to me, so I should just go do that.
You do love that brand unity. I appreciate that, though.
It's true. It's all about branding. Let's go ahead and talk college football. Let's talk about your Run Your Pool weekly picks every time, college football and the NFL. But Alex, I'm trying to like pump you up and give people reasons to follow you and read your article. And if nothing else, they should read your articles just for, you know, kicks and giggles, because I feel like that's important. You did give your article last week about how to watch the football and to have Thanksgiving dinner and spend time with your family and all that fun stuff, which was important. But 2-3, again, in your article, your picks, 3-6-1. Are we risking you having a losing season for the first time in Course of Life history?
We are. It is fair to say. We've got the conference championship weekend, and then we've got our favorite, though, bowl season, going all the way through the holidays into January. So there is still time. There's still upwards of 40-something, 50 games to make it happen. So the numbers are out there. I'm going to have to change my ways a bit. I'm reevaluating some of the betting trends I've been looking at this season, because they have not been coming to fruition as of late. And we're getting to some big games. So it's definitely got to throw it down time here as we head into December college football.
It's true. And the big game of the weekend, of course, was Michigan just devouring Ohio State. The in-laws were in town, and they're Ohio State fans.
Not
a good weekend for them. Michigan stays in the top four. Ohio State kind of drops out. Maybe their bowl championship series chances are over.
Yeah.
So that top four, UGA, man, they look real. It's going to be hard to stop Georgia.
Even when Georgia doesn't look great, they still win by 20-30. Yeah. I know they haven't played the toughest schedule in college football, but the defense is just so puncturing and just so threatening at every turn. And they force so many turnovers and big plays that switch the field so fast for them that it makes the offense go so much more easily. And that's why they are where they are. They haven't lost a game, Mike, since, let's see.
It's been a while.
2020, sometime in 2020. Think about that for a second. That's a real stat. So yeah, they're still number one. They are. Michigan definitely number two. And now we sit and we wait and we see if TCU and USC can survive one last scare here to potentially keep them as the other two teams in the playoff.
I mean, I'm still all in on the Horned Frogs. I know I'm in Georgia and I should be rooting for Georgia, but I'm always a fan of that underdog team that just doesn't belong. And that is certainly the TCU Horned Frogs. So.
Yeah, I love Max Duggan. It's been a great story because everyone has just been betting against TCU, just been waiting for their downfall. And I appreciate that I've just been consistently betting on TCU. So I think you and I are united for the Horned Frogs this Saturday against Kansas State. I like them again this weekend. Check out Run Your Pool for my full betting preview at runyourpool.com. But yeah, let's stand united and get TCU in the playoff.
Let's talk the NFL. Your Run Your Pool picks, a moderately better, not officially losing 2-2 in your picks there. So still, I think your picks on the season are not that great.
Ready for this, Mike? 30 wins, 30 losses, and one tie. That's my NFL picks so far here through 12 weeks. I couldn't create that record unless I tried really hard. I don't know how I did that. It was amazing. But I'm literally exactly at 50% for the NFL this year.
That's pretty incredible. Let's talk about our favorite teams real quick. Your Patriots, my Giants, both losing on Turkey Day on national television. Are the playoff chances looking more grim now for both of our teams?
Here's the thing, Mike. We are in the two best divisions in football.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, so it's tough. It's like we're treading uphill here. Giants, what, 7-4, Pats 6-5, but we're, you know, we can't even sniff first place in our division with those records. In other divisions, we'd be leading the division. So it's a crazy NFL that's leaned towards the NFC and AFC East. Yeah, it's an uphill climb for both of us. Got to get to 10 wins, Mike. That's the number. I don't care. That's the no if, in, so, or but number. Got to get to 10-7 if you want a chance at the postseason.
We'll see how it goes this next weekend. Big, you know, I think the Giants needed to win against Dallas, and I was thinking of calling that a must-win game, and it was not a good result.
I know, and we got what my friends would say is a must-win game against the Bills this Thursday. I'm not calling it a must-win game because I'm scared we're going to get our ass kicked, so I'm not even going to give it that title because it doesn't deserve it, so... That's where my fandom is right now.
We'll see what happens. Let's do a quick alma mater update. It was a holiday weekend, which means there's holiday tournaments and stuff going on. Let's first talk men's hockey. Poll that came out on Monday. Number two in the polls, unless you're looking at the other poll, and then we're number four in that poll. We won the Belpot Trophy this weekend. That's
not the bean pot, the bell pot.
No, the bell pot. That's part of the Friendship Four out in Belfast, Ireland.
Wow.
We beat UMass to win it. So
that's cool.
There you go.
That's a cool little victory. A fun little trip for the hockey team, too.
Yeah. Men's basketball. They were riding high. You texted me this weekend. You were like, hey, men's basketball, undefeated right now.
Yeah. No troll. No joke. Quinnipiac men's basketball, undefeated. I'm texting you this on Thanksgiving. I couldn't believe my eyes as I was sending it.
Way to jinx it, though. They lost over the weekend and are now sitting at 7-1 still. Best start since the historic 1969-1970 season. We all remember how great of a season that was back then.
Yeah, how many games were you at that 69-70 season there? You go to all
I went to, I was at all of them. I was all of them. Bert Kahn was a coach, as you know. Bert Kahn Court was there for a long time. Longtime coach of the Quinnipiac Bobcats. And though I think at that time it was the Quinnipiac Braves. So
that's crazy. You hauled your typewriter from your dorm room and everything all the way over to the court every single game. Wow. Good for you.
Yep. I'm not 36. I'm 56. All right. Let's hashtag always have a food.
Yeah, let's do it. Food segment to end every Course of Life podcast. We got to get into food because obviously we just had Thanksgiving in the rear view. I am crushing the Thanksgiving leftovers right now. I've done about four variations of a turkey club. I just did a BLT with some leftover bacon from my green bean dish. So it's been a very successful turkey binge for me the last few days.
I have to say, I don't always do like different tweaks on my leftover turkey, but and I'm going to pat myself on the back here. So just you ready for this? Everything I made was so fantastic this year, I didn't feel a need to twist it into anything else. I just stuck it on a plate, put it in the microwave, and ate it.
Wow, so you got to keep this playbook for next year then. You got to save these links and keep everything written down.
I might not do the green beans again because they were okay. They weren't fantastic, but everything else there was a winner.
And my part B of Always End With Food, make sure to follow Always End With Food on Instagram. Really fun food content account there that we put together. And I'm going to be doing some stories on some holiday drink reviews, Mike. So it's the season now where we've evolved to Christmas. So we've got all the peppermint Christmas holiday themed drinks coming your way. I've already tried a few. Hint, hint. I've already tried the Wendy's peppermint shake. I've already tried the Dunkin' Donuts cookie butter. And those reviews will be coming soon on that Instagram. So be sure to follow there.
All right. There it is. As we've said a couple times now, it was also my birthday this weekend. So that meant on top of all the Thanksgiving food, there was birthday food.
Yes, that's right. So, and you had, what was your wish again for your birthday wish dessert?
It was a New York style cheesecake with cranberries. And it was very good. It was very good. If you like cheesecake, nice, which I like cheesecake. The cranberries, you know, they, you know, some sugar in there and some orange zest as well and orange juice to help kind of mellow it out a little bit so it wasn't too tart. It was awfully good. And then for dinner on a Saturday night, we put the dog in the crate and we went out because we just needed to get out and went and got some Chinese food and had soup dumplings for the first time. You ever had soup dumplings?
You know what? I can't say that I have. I've seen them advertised at several restaurants in Austin that have been on my list for a while. But how is the eating experience? I don't know. They look interesting.
It's got soup in it. I mean, you kind of They were quite good. They're very good.
How was that a clean eating experience? It's got to be a little tricky, right?
Well, I mean, what we did, you put the dumpling on the spoon, and then actually what I would do is kind of bite into the side or kind of break into it and kind of sip out the soup, and then you put the rest of the dumpling in. So that's kind of what it was. So
I don't know
if I'm doing it right or not, but that's how we did it. So
no, that's an interesting amateur strategy. I think it's pretty professional, actually. Nice work.
Yeah. You know, I've watched a lot of videos of Mike Chen doing this on YouTube, so that's kind of where my knowledge comes from.
Nice. A great birthday celebration indeed. That was Always End With Food and a great wrap on this week's Course of Life podcast. Be sure to subscribe right now if you enjoyed our content, the interview this week, or you just like to golf and you're here because of that. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.